He made it to the Y-shaped split. He turned left toward the house. The path was okay. The underfoot surface had been salted and sprinkled with grit. Maybe the last domestic chore Andrew Peterson had ever done. 10 minutes' work. It had made it easier to inform his widow of his death. The house loomed up ahead. Red boards, red door, made brown by the blue of the moon. Soft yellow light behind the window glass. A faint smell of wood smoke from the chimney. Reacher walked on. It was so cold he felt like he had forgotten how. Like a stroke victim. He had to concentrate. Left foot, right foot, one step, the next, consciously and deliberately. Like he was learning a brand new skill. He made it to the door. He paused a second and coughed, freezing air from his lungs, and raised his hand and knocked. The thickness of his glove and the way he was shaking turned what was supposed to be a crisp double tap into a ragged sequence of dull, padded thumps. The worst sound in the world. After midnight, a cop's family alone in a house, a knock at the door. No possibility of good news. Kim would understand that in the first split second. The only issue was how hard and how long she was going to fight it. Reacher knew how it would be. He had knocked on plenty of different doors. After midnight. She opened up. One glance, and the last absurd hope drained from her face. It wasn't her husband. He hadn't dropped his keys in the snow. He hadn't gotten inexplicably drunk and couldn't find the keyhole. She fell down, like a trapdoor had opened under her. Caleb Carter took a black 4-cell maglite from the rack at the door and checked his radio. It was turned on and working. The maglite gave a decent beam. Batteries were okay. There was a clipboard screwed to the wall. There was a pen tied to it with a ratty piece of string. Caleb pre-signed for the fifth tour. The first four notations were bogus. No one looked up. He left the ready room and headed down the corridor. In terms of jurisdiction, the county lockup was entirely separate from the state penitentiary, which in turn was entirely separate from the federal prison. But all three facilities shared the same site and the same architecture. Economy of scale. Ease of operation. The lockup was mostly filled with arrested local folks who either couldn't get or couldn't make bail. Pre-trial. Innocent until proven guilty. Caleb knew some of them from high school. About a quarter of the inmates were post-trial, found guilty and sentenced, waiting out a few days until the system moved them to their next destination. A sorry bunch. There were 60 cells, laid out in a two-story V, 15 cells to a section. East wing, lower, east wing, upper, west wing lower, west wing upper. At the point of the V, there was a metal staircase, and beyond it was a single-story mess hall and rec room, so that the lower floor was actually shaped like a Y. All 60 cells had occupants. They always did. The money had come from outside of Bolton, and it was like the politicians in Pier or Washington or wherever wanted their investment to be well used. It was widely accepted around the town that laws got tighter if there was a vacancy. And vice versa. If there was an empty bed, an ounce of herb in your car would get you hauled in. But if all 60 beds were taken, 2 ounces would get you nothing more than a smack on the head. Law enforcement. Caleb's chosen career. He started at the far end of the east wing lower. Walked all the way to the end wall, turned around, clicked his flashlight on, and came back slower. The cells were on his left. He overhanded the flashlight up on his shoulder, which not only looked cool, but put the beam in line with his eyes. The cells had bars at the front, cots on the right, combined sinks and toilets in the back left corner, desks no wider than shelves opposite the cots. The cots had men in them. Most were asleep, rumbling, mumbling, and snoring under thin gray sheets. Some were awake, their narrow, furtive eyes reflecting back like rats. He turned the corner of the V and checked the west wing lower. 15 cells, 15 cots, 15 men in them, 12 sleeping, 3 awake, none in distress. He climbed the stairs to the east wing upper. Same result. He didn't know why they bothered. The place was a warehouse, that was all. A kind of cheap hotel. Did hotel staff check their guests every hour? He didn't think so. Procedure was such bullshit. He passed the head of the stairs to the west wing upper. He walked it a little faster than normal. The shadows of the bars moved as his maglight beam passed over them. Cell one, empty space on the left, humped form under the sheet on the right, awake. Cell two, empty space on the left, humped form under the sheet on the right, asleep. Cell three the same, and so on, all the way down the row. Cell six had the fat guy in it, the one who wouldn't talk, except to the biker in cell seven. But the biker wasn't in cell seven. Cell seven, west wing upper, was empty. Chapter 37. Reacher was too slow to catch Kim Peterson before she hit the deck. He bent down awkwardly in his big coat and slid an arm under her shoulders and sat her up. She was gone, fainted clean away. Absurdly, his main worry was that the door was open and heat was leaking out of the house. So he jammed his other arm under her knees and lifted her up. He turned away and kicked the door shut behind him and carried her through to the family room and laid her on the battered sofa near the stove. He had seen women faint before. He had knocked on plenty of doors after midnight. He knew what to do. Like everything else in the army, it had been thoroughly explained. Fainting after a shock was a simple vasovagal reflex. The heart rate drops, the blood vessels dilate, the hydraulic power that forces blood to the brain falls away. There were 5 points in the treatment plan. First, catch the victim. He had already blown that. Second, lay her down with her feet high and her head low so that gravity could help her blood get back to her brain, which he did. He swiveled her so that her feet were up on the sofa arm and her head was below them on the cushion. Third, check her pulse, which he did, in her wrist. He took off his gloves and touched his fingers to her skin, just like he had with her husband. The result was different. Her pulse was tapping away just fine.